AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Good to be with you today. Matt Hunter, anything breaking, any news or anything like that? Kind of a dull day around here.
Yeah.
No.
Haven't seen much.
Maybe we'll just hum the entire hour. Oh, wait. Look at this. We've got lots to get to. Hey, if you want to line up with the phone calls now, be my guest. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Your Denver suburban update, though, to begin with here, Hunter. Mm-hmm. The City Council of Denver is a suburb of Cherry Hills Village. Voted unanimously Tuesday evening to drop the name Swastika Acres from a subdivision, according right in time. I mean, that's the way to get there, right on that. They're dropping the name Swastika Acres from a subdivision, according to local news reports. I think it's important for our community to bring some closure to the issue. You think after 75 years, you think now you said, I don't want to criticize you for your slow response time on this, but Swastika Acres. All right. According to the Denver Post, the name originated from the Denver Land Swastika Company, which first developed the area in 1908. So legitimately, it's not like a young, you know, land developer named, you know, A. Hitler showed up one day in Denver. This was, you know, the swastika for many years prior to the Nazis destroying it forever. Mm-hmm. Forever. You're not bringing it back. It was a symbol. It was an ancient symbol in Sanskrit. Native Americans used the symbol as well. But, you know, it also was a symbol of this little group of really horrible people in the mid part of the 20th century. And unfortunately, because of their actions, you can change this thing. You can change the name. There had been broad agreement to change the name. Years of bureaucracy prevented local officials from doing so. Dude, you need to trim down your regulations book then. If it took you 75 years to change Swastika Acres, you need to preen that a little bit. Work on that. Officials initially required 100% of the property owners to approve the name change, but in 2017 adopted a new ordinance requiring the requirement to 51%. A real estate developer who noticed the name and documents spearheaded the new ordinance. The ordinance requires homeowners in the neighborhood to file the name change application. They get 30 of the 57 lot owners to sign a petition. At least one community member opposed this change in the name, saying it has a descendant of the Holocaust survivors. She wanted people to remember its dark history, comparing the name's erasure to Holocaust denial. No, it's not. Okay, first of all, let's go back. We'll take this into this, you know, Bidet Makaska argument that we can't change it from Calhoun. How will we ever know what happened? No one knew who John C. Calhoun was. Well, no one, without most of the people who ever were on Calhoun Drive or by Lake Calhoun when it was there. You didn't say, well, we're at Lake Calhoun. Think what we know about this racist jackass who was their vice president for a while. No, you do not learn history by going to the intersection of Hitler and Stalin. Okay? Well, thank God we're here because now I've got all the history. Because it's Hitler and Stalin streets. No, people don't do that. And I am 100%, I'm not for denying the Holocaust. My God, it was one of the darkest stains on the history of humanity, for goodness sakes. And you should never forget it. You should not ever forget it. But at the same time, a Denver suburb being named Swastika Acres is not going to necessarily improve awareness of the Holocaust. It's just, you know, if you want to put a sign out there, but I got to imagine if you put a sign out there, then, you know, and keep the name Swastika Acres, that people are going to be like, well, if you know this is what the swastika represented and you're putting a sign out here talking about the Holocaust, why wouldn't you just change the name and just leave the sign about the Holocaust? Yeah, like I said, so the swastikas were in use beforehand, but of course the Nazis, you know, took care of that forever. Speaking of Swastika Acres, the White House, Trump's White House to be exact. Oh, you know when you have a news story that starts off like this? Okay, I'll just read the first line, then I got to get into something else here really quick before we get into the Mueller report. Oh, my God, President Donald Trump said. This is terrible. This is the end of my presidency. I'm blanked. Oh. That was how Trump reacted to the news that special counsel Robert Mueller had been appointed to investigate Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. Now, I'm going to point out something. Why would this be the end of your presidency if you were innocent of anything? Hmm? I mean, you want to just skip on past that. Trump almost admits with his initial reaction that there was something going on between him, his campaign, and the Russians. And I want to stop right there. Let's just put the writing on the wall. If 1/50th of this report was ever reported on Barack Obama, he would have been impeached. Would he have been voted out of the presidency? I don't know. I think he probably – actually, I think he would. I think enough Democrats – if 1/50th of this report was about Barack Obama, I think enough Democrats in the Senate back there would, well, gee, Willikers, well, golly gosh, they got a point. And they would have removed him from office. The reason why the Republicans kept going after Benghazi 8 times, Benghazi was investigated 8 times, was because they were drunk throwing haymakers. They didn't know what they were trying to hit. That's why tan suits and latte salutes and chewing gum and bowing too deeply and mom jeans and Dijon mustard. That is why all these insanely stupid, and by the way, the further and further we get from the Obama administration to even think back on these things, the insanely stupid way that you look at what they were going after him for. Because they didn't know what they couldn't get him on anything because he was clean and he was pretty much honest. And he was, you know, he was everything they couldn't stand. Not only was he the first African-American president, he was a damn good president. And they hated him. But that's why Benghazi was so important for them. Benghazi, they had evaluated that Benghazi was their best chance at an impeachment of Obama. That's why they kept investigating and investigating. Remember those first few investigations. Oh, we got him. We got him. And then they came back and, well, no, it's, you know, it's nothing there. And then they made up the whole thing about, you know, oh, this person was talking about this. And they investigated that. They went through 4 investigations, found nothing. And to give you an idea of how desperate they were to try to throw Obama out of office or at least impeach him, A fake caller called into Sean Hannity's radio program and said, you know, some guy from Iowa, he said he was from Iowa. I was in the room when Obama said to stand down. And Sean Hannity, man, look at that. He's in the room. Just stand down. Oh, wow. Sounds like he's guilty to me. Within hours of that phone call, I guarantee you every national security person had tracked down who exactly that was. And within hours, they knew that was a fake phone call. Within hours of that phone call being placed to Sean Hannity's radio show, they knew it was fake. The Republicans clearly knew it was fake. And they still went with 4 more Benghazi investigations. Because we still have answers. And they went after him and after him and after him. And at the end of every single one of those investigations, they begrudgingly had to admit that the White House had not done anything wrong every single time. And I'll buy the argument that maybe towards the end of it, especially, that they were trying to latch onto Hillary Clinton. But they were saving the Clinton Foundation. I mean, they'd already investigated the Clinton Foundation 3 times, but they were saving the Clinton Foundation, the nuclear deal, and Hillary's emails for if she was to have won in 2016. That's what the first 2 years of her entire presidency were going to be. And trust me, if Hillary Clinton had become president, and the report that was released today, 1/50th, if it was true about Hillary Clinton, she would have been bounced from office with a good chunk of Democrats voting along with her. Reminder about these Republicans. How many of them, even after their report said that Obama hadn't done anything wrong with Benghazi, were still saying, vote for impeachment on the guy, because I just can't stand the fact there's a black guy in the White House. And that's who these people were. What this report, I want to make sure we understand 2 things here about this report. One, in my mind, it does not clear Trump of anything. As a matter of fact, it leads me to believe there's a hell of a lot more we don't know going on here. And whether it was through decisions, redactions, or decisions on who to further interview and prosecute and subpoena, or redactions in their story, or just because the right questions were not asked, it's not that there isn't evidence of this stuff. It's just there's not enough as of right now that Mueller felt like that he could come together on a report. But and that's primarily about collusion, because there clearly is some report. There's some really nasty relationship stuff here between the Trump administration and the Trump campaign and the Russians. But the obstruction of justice, incompetency is not a defense for conspiracy. And Trump ordered obstruction of justice 10 times. That alone, this should be the last day of his presidency. The Republicans should be walking up to the White House and saying, sir, we've lost faith. We have to try to win elections in 2020. You need to step down immediately. He tried to obstruct justice 10 times. And just due to the fact that there were enough people around him saying, we can't do that. Which, by the way, where they're at with Stephen Miller should let you know that that might not be the case. The redacted document describes 10 instances in which Trump may have obstructed justice by using his authority to interfere with a special counsel's investigation. Mueller declined to make a determination about whether the president obstructed justice. He did not exonerate him, but his argument is there's enough people that basically were saying don't do this, that if I was to basically bring charges, his argument might be, well, I wish I won the lottery and I didn't buy a lottery ticket, and my staff told me I couldn't buy a lottery ticket, so henceforth, just because I said it doesn't mean I became a millionaire. I think that that's kind of the tone you get with Mueller. The Russian government interfered with the 2016 presidential election in a sweeping and systemic fashion, Mueller wrote. He wrote, and once again, I want to repeat that. The Russian government interfered in the 2016 presidential election in a sweeping and systemic fashion. Stop right there. The 2016 election was not legit. I mean, they actually, and by the way, Minnesota shows up in this. Manafort was being approached by these Russians about information about voting in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Swing states, which were determined to be swing states. These are known knowns at this point. And here is an acknowledgement from the Mueller report. The Russian government interfered in the 2016 presidential election. Well, guess who do you think they wanted to win? No, it wasn't Hillary Clinton. It was their best boy over there that has basically done everything he has done has been a Russian wish list since he became the president of the United States. Weakening NATO, destroying the relationship the United States has with China, embracing dictatorships, basically tanking our agricultural sector. So, you know, foreign investors are buying agricultural land up in the United States big time. Should be noted on that. The pandering to the Russians. It's just insane. But here we have an admission from Mueller. The Russian government interfered in the 2016 presidential election in sweeping and systemic fashion. That's a known. He found extensive ties between members of the Trump campaign and Russian officials. That's a known. He found extensive ties. Not, hey, we walked past each other at a drive-thru one time. No, he found extensive ties between members of the Trump campaign and Russian officials. The links included Russian offers of assistance to the campaign, he wrote. In some instances, the campaign was receptive to the offer, while in other instances, the campaign officials shied away. That is collusion. We know this. So to sit there and say there's no collusion, what are you talking about? Let me reread that to you, okay? He found extensive ties. Well, I'll read the whole paragraph. The Russian government interfered in the 2016 presidential election in a sweeping and systemic fashion. He found extensive ties between members of the Trump campaign and Russian officials. The links included Russian offers of assistance to the campaign. In some instances, the campaign was receptive to the offer, while in other instances, the campaign officials shied away. The minute they were receptive to the offer, they were entering into a collusion situation. Period. Collusion did happen. Ultimately, Mueller wrote, his probe did not find that Trump camp officials have participated in an illegal conspiracy to aid Moscow's efforts. But that, you see, you're looking for the smoking gun, the undeniable proof, the videotape, which, by the way, I'll get to more on that in a second, because there's something about that in there. And The Mueller report, I want to repeat this. The links included Russian offers of assistance to the campaign. In some instances, the campaign was receptive to the offer. That's collusion. We want to help your campaign win. Boy, oh boy, that sounds great. Tell me more. You are engaging in collusion at that point. If the next words out of your mouth are, how dare you, I'm calling the FBI, you are engaging in collusion. Mueller's standard was, I'm looking for a videotape of, here's collusion, yay! And they're all dancing in front of a Quickie Mart store camera. it would be an interesting way of going about it, I would say.
Quickie Mart.
Yeah. Well, seriously, like they're over by the Funyuns, and all of a sudden there's Russians and Trump dancing in the aisles. And, collusion time! You know, it's like, got banners and everything. Trump and his allies have tried to spin Mueller's findings as a win for the White House. We know the truth. I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. Come on back. I got a lot more to get to on this because it's a beaut. But one thing I want to make sure we understand, two things. If Obama or Hillary Clinton had become president and had done 1/50th of what's described of in this report, the current Republicans in the House and the Senate would be voting to impeach him today. And second of all, don't try to play this off as anything it isn't. This is collusion, and this is obstruction of justice. And just because there was a massive amount of incompetency involved with the people around the Trump campaign doesn't mean – incompetency is not an excuse for conspiracy. It's not. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. And, of course, we got to talk about Trump Jr. too. You'll have nothing and like it. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
April showers bring May flowers, but who knows what else April weather will bring? Fortunately, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has you covered. Standard's triple savings sale saves you up to $2,300 when you install a new furnace and AC before April 30th. So, find out more about Standard's triple savings sale and how you can save up to $2,300 today at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
Does your dog deserve food that is as wholesome as the food you feed your family? Food that is natural without artificial ingredients? At Total Dog Company, we carry Nature's Logic brand dry and canned foods. Nature's Logic pet foods are made without any synthetic vitamin mixes or other synthetic nutrients. All the goodness comes from real food. Find Nature's Logic at Total Dog Company in New Hope, right off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North and at TotalDogCompany.com.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And you see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Here's the excerpt about Minnesota being mentioned. Second, Manafort briefed Kimmelnick on the state of the Trump campaign and Manafort's plan to win the election. This is obviously referring to back when the campaign was going on. That briefing encompassed the campaign's messaging and its internal polling data. According to Gates, it also included discussions of battleground states, which Manafort identified as Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota. Manafort did not refer explicitly to battleground states in his telling of the August 2nd discussion. And from that point forward, the rest of that paragraph is redacted. Without a doubt, if you look through this thing, there is a tremendous amount of moments where, and the guy pulls the gun out and he aims it and he gets ready to, redaction. You know, that's what? What happened? There is clearly redaction going on in this report to cover up the worst of what's being accused here. And it also should be noted that Barr, the attorney general, even Fox News today was accusing him of basically being Trump's defense lawyer in this entire case. It's now known that he gave the Trump legal team this report days ago, if not weeks ago, and that there was open discussions between the Department of Justice and the White House in regards to the Mueller report prior to the release to the public, which he's not supposed to do. He's supposed to be an independent body, but he clearly, even Fox News, as many people were saying, that if you watch that the thing that he did this morning, this little press thing he did, you might as well have just been wearing MAGA hat. I mean, he might as well have been. That's how bad it was. Well, let's get back to this. How could you let this happen, Jeff? Trump said to then Attorney General Jeff Sessions when Sessions gave him the Mueller news. According to notes taken by Sessions' former chief of staff, Jody Hunt, Sessions told investigators that Trump told him, "You are supposed to protect me." That's not how the Department of Justice works. And once again, there you go. That one statement alone. Okay, Republicans have been ripping the flesh from their faces over what they say is a unprincipled meeting between the attorney general under Obama on a tarmac in an airplane, for God's sakes. There is no mystery about what was said here. Here you have, you were supposed to protect me. Everyone tells me if you get one of these independent counsels, it ruins your presidency. It takes years and years. I won't be able to do anything. It's the worst thing that could ever happen to me. A month later, the president called White House counsel Don McGahn at his home and ordered him to tell the acting attorney general that Mueller had conflicts of interest and must be fired. This is obstruction of justice. He's ordering his lawyer to go and fire Mueller. Mueller wrote in his report, McGahn refused, fearing the situation similar to the Nixon-era Saturday Night Massacre. The New York Times reported last year on Trump's effort to fire Mueller. Incompetency is not an excuse for conspiracy. Just because McGahn was smart enough to realize I can't do it doesn't mean that Trump didn't order obstruction of justice. Tuesday, after his failed effort to fire Mueller, Trump told political operative Corey Lewandowski to tell Sessions that Mueller's investigation was unfair to the president and should be limited to future election meddling, the special counsel wrote. Lewandowski didn't want to deliver the message to Sessions, so he asked senior White House official Rick Dearborn to do it. Instead, Dearborn also declined. Once again, incompetency is not an excuse for conspiracy. Trump went on to trash Sessions publicly, telling the New York Times in an interview he would never have appointed Sessions if he knew the attorney general would recuse himself. Trump may have been saved by obstruction by justice charges by his own aide's refusal to follow his orders. The president's efforts to influence the investigation were mostly unsuccessful, but it is largely because the person who surrounded the president declined to carry out orders and exceeded the request. Incompetency is not an excuse for conspiracy. The events described by Mueller suggest that Trump used his authority to try to kill the investigation. Our investigation found multiple acts by the president that were capable of exerting undue influence over law enforcement investigations, including the Russian interference or obstruction investigations, the report states. These incidents were often carried out through one-on-one meetings in which the president sought to use his official power outside official channels. But proving the president obstructed justice would require a special counsel to determine whether Trump's actions, which may have had the effect of impeding the Russian probe, were done with that intent, Mueller explained in the report. If we have confidence after the thorough investigation of the facts that the president clearly did not commit obstruction of justice, we would so state. Based on the facts of the special legal standards, we are unable to reach that judgment. So he's basically saying we're not going to clear him on obstruction. The special counsel wrote, accordingly, while this report does not conclude the president committed a crime, it does not exonerate him. Basically, what it's saying is this. We know Trump ordered obstruction of justice. The only thing that we can prove is that his aides were smart enough not to do it. Which, by the way, when Trump sits out there and says, completely exonerated, what he is saying is, thank God there were people that were smarter than me around me. Not that he didn't try. He tried his hardest to get Mueller fired and obstruct justice. But once again, obstruction of justice, his intent was clear. Catch this one, though. This is pretty exciting. Mueller's report shows that Michael Cohen, Trump's longtime fixer, received a text message from Russian businessman Georgi Rizalsky during an election campaign saying Rizalsky had stopped flow of tapes from Russia, but not sure if there's anything else. Cohen told the special counsel team he briefed Trump on Rizalsky's texts. Rizalsky said the tapes refer to compromising recordings of Trump, which were rumored to be held by people associated with the real estate group that helped host Trump's 2013 Miss Universe pageant in Russia. The description of the tapes appeared to match the unverified allegation from a dossier compiled by former British intelligence officer Christopher Steele, who was hired by private firm during the 26 campaign to collect information on Trump. The PP tape is real. The PP tape is real.
Wow.
He's interviewed Cohen. He interviewed this Russian guy. The tapes seem to be. Let me repeat that. The description of the tapes appeared to match the unverified allegation from the dossier compiled by British intelligence officer Christopher Steele. The tapes are real, folks. The tapes are real. Wow. Here are. We'll do this before I go into the bomb in the hour break here. Here are the biggest bombshells out of the report in the first hours of the release. Trump panicked after Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein appointed Mueller as special counsel. We know that now. Mueller could not find enough evidence that Donald Trump Jr. was smart enough to – this is just great. Mueller could not find enough evidence that Donald Trump Jr. was smart enough to realize he was breaking the law by accepting Russian assistance for his father's campaign. So once again, Trump's whole argument was, I've been exonerated even though I clearly ordered obstruction of justice. But thankfully, the people I ordered to do it didn't pull out my commands. Donald Trump Jr. is bragging he's been cleared, and the report clearly states that Donald Trump Jr. is a brick with lips, that he's that stupid that he could – that and maybe it's an act. Maybe he's doing an act. But the reality is I think that that's actually one of the most true things you'll come out of this. Hope Hicks thought Trump Jr.'s emails regarding his efforts to set up a meeting with a Russian lawyer looked really bad, but Trump told her to cover them up. All right. Why would you, if they didn't look bad, if they were nothing, why did you order the emails to be covered up? Collusion. Hicks was in contact with the Russians the day after the election, who wanted to put Trump in touch with Vlad Putin, as she relayed that request to Jared Kushner. The Trump campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, expected his associate, Kilimnik, who is a suspect ties to Russian intelligence, to share internal campaign data with an oligarch of whom he owned millions and others in Ukraine. Trump signaled the former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn that he might pardon him and ask for a warning before testifying against him. Trump instructed Rosenstein to add a line clearing him on Russia in the memo he was drafting to justify Comey's hiring. Mueller's team found Comey's account credible about Trump's demand for loyalty and dismissed the president's denials as untrue. The Mueller's team basically, once again, found that Trump was not believable. Trump tried to obstruct justice on multiple occasions, but his underlings refused to carry out his corrupt requests. Incompetence is not an excuse for conspiracy. Mueller believed he had the authority to issue a grand jury subpoena for Trump, but knew that the delay would be investigated. We will tell you what, we're going to take a break. Come on back. If you want to chime in on this, you're more than welcome to. I still got a lot to get to on this, too, including Republican response, which is as predictable as you can imagine. You need to apologize for the fact that our guy ordered 10 times for obstruction of justice to occur. How dare you, basically? What am I defending again? I'm doing what? Okay. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. And when we do come on back, Sarah Huckabee, we got you lying. We got you lying. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. I know the score at the back of my hand. Them are the boys.
Hi, I'm Donna Minter, founder and executive director of the Minnesota Peacebuilding Leadership Institute. Please join us Wednesday, April 24th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Riverview Theater in Minneapolis for LunaFest, our women's film festival for community peacebuilding. We'll show 8 internationally curated short films by, for, and about women. We'll raffle off 7 baskets filled with thousands of dollars worth of gift cards, merchandise, and service vouchers. This year, Minneapolis City Council Vice President Andrea Jenkins will be our honorary LunaFest chairwoman. $25 gets you 8 short films and festivities. $50 gets all of that and the after party at the Riverview Cafe. The best part is, the proceeds benefit Minnesota Peacebuilding Leadership Institute programs and our Racial and Economic Equity Trainee Scholarship Fund. To learn more and purchase tickets, visit mnpeace.org and find LunaFest under events. That's mnpeace.org. See you there.
The entire buying experience with Rudy Luther Toyota is so worthwhile. Every new Toyota comes with Toyota Care, 2 years of free maintenance with every new Toyota purchased. Their super staff is wonderful, always ready to help. And there's the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at holiday station stores, as well as discounted car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Head on over to Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Art lovers, it's time to celebrate, learn about, and collect local art at the St. Paul Art Crawl, running April 26th to 28th. The Spring St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you will have the chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artists' studios, lofts, and galleries. Up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 34 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for your own. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community, too, with free transit passes. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at stpaulartcrawl.org. That's stpaulartcrawl.org.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is the Matt McNeil Show. Indeed, if you've got, I don't know, 400 pages of redacted stuff to look through, Cafe Latte, a great place to do it. Delicious food, great desserts, and, of course, you know, place, nice place for you to do some people watching as you, I don't know, review the Mueller report. There you go.
That was my favorite restaurant when I was a kid.
Cafe Latte? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is. They got great pizzas, great salad bar, great breads out there as well. But stop on by for those desserts. They're fantastic. It is Victorian Grand St. Paul Cafe Latte. EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. Should we get Gear Bear? Gary is in Minneapolis. Gary, welcome on in. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, I had a thought about it today. You know, one of the people said that there's 14 ongoing related investigations into the Trump administration, and there's so much corruption through the years, you know. We still haven't seen his tax returns and you know, the Stormy Daniels stuff. There might be more of that. There's a lot of dirt there, the Trump University and all kinds of stuff we heard about, and campaign finance reform. But I'd still like to see the Joker's birth certificate, because maybe he was hatched some other place and came over here.
All right. Well, and thanks, Gary. He has been one of the most investigated people. He's going to try his best to prevent his tax return from getting out. And I just want to remind you, any Republican that sits there and says, I would not care at all if a Democrat didn't release their tax return, they're lying. They would go, how come, what are they trying to hide? That's what they'd be doing. And like I said, if 1/50th of this report was about Barack Obama during his administration, they would have impeached him. 1/50th. There is 10 times he ordered obstruction of justice. And there clearly is some connections between his administration and Russia. But for how about a conservative point of view? Patrick is in Apple Valley, so eager here to defend Trump. Go ahead, Patrick.
All right. Matt, I just have to say that the Attorney General Barr did not find any evidence.
No. Stop. Patrick, stop. Mueller did find a lot of evidence of obstruction of justice. He just basically, he did not exonerate him. All Barr did was take Trump's orders and try to hide this and try to play this out. Barr clearly is a stooge of the White House. So you acting as if he's some neutral voice of respectability, that's bullcrap. Patrick, Mueller found 10 cases. And if you look at the report, which you clearly are not, you just are, what does Barr say? Okay, I'll repeat what he said. If you look at the report, there's clearly, there might not be a fire as far as collusion, but there is a lot of smoke, and there clearly is the evidence. How about, Patrick, I'd love to get your comment about the fact that the Mueller report does indeed say that there does seem to be some compromising sex tapes of Trump from Russia. What do you think about that? Isn't that great?
Well, but Matt, that was never part of the investigation.
Oh no, it was part of the it was part of the investigation because it was asking the question of whether or not Trump was compromised to the Russians. The Russians have done this over and over again. They get some high level person or some millionaire in a country, they compromise that person, then they get them into a political position where they can take advantage of that country. They just never dreamed, I didn't think, that there'd be enough stupid idiots that would vote for Trump. That would allow Trump to basically, they'd be able to get the United States. So that's clearly what was this. And this has been proven. Now, regardless of whether or not you want to now say, well, that's irrelevant, you guys all said that the PP tape wasn't real. And now it sounds like the tape, as described in the Steele dossier, does exist. How's that make you feel?
Well, kind of getting off the subject.
All right, Patrick. I'm not going to go with your talking points. Patrick doesn't want to acknowledge that this is a condemnation beyond anything that they didn't want this. Trump says he's exonerated, so he's got to be exonerated. No. Trump 10 times ordered obstruction of justice. That alone should be the end of his presidency. That there, regardless of collusion, 10 times the president of the United States ordered obstruction of justice. 10 times. This is not me saying it. This is not loony liberal John Fugel saying or Stephanie Miller. This isn't Nancy liberal Pelosi or Ilhan Omar. This is a lifelong Republican, Robert Mueller, who was appointed by the Trump Department of Justice to investigate. He has said they found 10 cases where Trump tried to obstruct justice. You can scream all day long about he's innocent. He's not. Incompetency is not an excuse for conspiracy. You know, and reminder, they didn't exonerate him. He said, hey, we know he did it. And right now, the only thing that happened Mueller clearly looked at trying to give Trump the benefit of the doubt here because he said these guys refused to go along with it. And that for them, there's the linchpin. Now, whether or not those guys are telling the truth, we have to find out. But you guys on the right so desperately want to sweep this under the rug and say nothing to see here. And we haven't even gotten once again to the collusion part. Clearly, I mean, they were sharing stuff on swing states with the Russians. They were sharing. How many connections did they have? You have the Steele dossier's compromise, the compromise tape that the Steele dossier said existed, now being proved to actually have existed. Come on. You guys don't want it to be true. You are dumb enough to vote for this guy, and now you are sitting there with a big old steaming pile of cow manure, and you keep eating it up saying it's the most delicious ice cream you've ever had. You guys are broken, and you're broken to the core. Speaking of which, broken, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. During a 2017 press conference, White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders openly lied about the circumstances surrounding James Comey's ouster as FBI director, according to Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report. On May 10th, Huckabee Sanders told reporters that President Trump had decided to fire Comey a day earlier, only after Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein recommended he do so. But Mueller's nearly 400-page report, a redacted version which was released to public on Thursday, states otherwise. Substantial evidence implicates Trump fired Comey for refusing to publicly state that the president wasn't personally under investigation. In the immediate aftermath of the firing, Trump, president, it dictated a press statement suggesting that he had acted based on Department of Justice recommendations, and White House press officials repeated that story, Mueller wrote in this report. But the president had decided to fire Comey before the White House solicited those recommendations. The report continues, although the president ultimately acknowledged that he was going to fire Comey regardless of the Department of Justice recommendations, he did so only after DOJ officials made clear to him that they would resist the White House's suggestion they had prompted the process that led to Comey's termination. What's more, Huckabee Sanders claimed during a White House press briefing that the rank and file of the FBI had lost confidence in the director. A day later, on May 11th, then-acting FBI Director McCabe testified before the Senate panel that Comey had, in fact, enjoyed broad support within the FBI and still does to this day, to which I can confidently tell you the vast majority of FBI employees enjoy the deep and positive connection with Director Comey, he said. When a reporter asked Huckabee Sanders that day about her comments, which directly contradicted McCabe's, she said she was speaking of her own personal evidence experience. I've heard these countless members of the FBI. They are grateful and thankful for the president's decision, Sanders said in the podium. And I think we may have to agree to disagree. I'm sure there are some people who are disappointed, but I certainly heard from a large number of individuals, and that's just myself, and I don't even know that many people at the FBI. But that was also a lie, according to the Mueller report. Huckabee Sanders admitted to the special counsel's office. So basically, she says all this, then they get her under oath. Huckabee Sanders admitted to the special counsel's office that her claim that Comey had lost the confidence of the rank-and-file FBI agents was wholly fabricated. She lied. Following the press conference, Sanders spoke to the president, who told her she did a good job and did not point out any inaccuracies in her comments, according to the report. Sanders told the office that her reference to hearing from countless members of the FBI was a slip of the tongue. She lied. She also recalled that her statement in a separate press interview that rank-and-file FBI agents had lost confidence in Comey was a comment she made in the heat of the moment, and it was not founded on anything. Huckabee Sanders is apparently not returning comments. Comey has long maintained the White House lied about the reputation of the FBI in June of 2018. Yet once another, I mean, if this was a Democratic administration, Sarah Huckabee Sanders would be fired immediately. They would actually, and if she wasn't fired, they would be calling hearings and calling for her removal. She's been called outright lying. And she, once again, you may not like the fact that she lied, you may like her, but the reality is she lied at the press conference, and she basically said she was speaking on behalf of the FBI agents. She made that all up. She basically made the FBI agents into she lied about the FBI agents. I mean, for goodness sake, how many people did she lie about from that stand? This Christian woman. I mean, it's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. Let's talk about some of the people involved. Hope Hicks, on page 101 of Mueller's report, former Trump White House staffer Hope Hicks is quoted as saying the emails from which Donald Trump Jr. said in 2016 that he would love it if Russia would leak some dirt on Hillary Clinton looked really bad for the president's son. Mueller's report stated the president was insisted he did not want to talk about it and said he did not want details. March 2017, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, according to Mueller's report, was assessing whether he should not recuse himself from the Russian investigation, and Trump asked White House counsel Don McGahn to stop Sessions from recusing himself. Regardless, there's obstruction of justice right there, by the way. Regardless, Sessions recused himself, and Trump was angry with him for that. McGahn, on June 17, 2017, Trump called McGahn at home, directed him to call the acting attorney general, telling him that Mueller had conflicts of interest and must be removed. Steve Bannon, Mueller report discusses the relationship between Steve Bannon and former Blackwater executive Eric Prince, who was an ardent supporter of Trump but wasn't actually part of the campaign. Bannon and Prince were in touch during the campaign as well as during the Obama to Trump transition after Trump won the election. Mueller's report says that Prince and Bannon would discuss inter alia foreign policy issues and Prince's recommendations regarding who should be appointed to key national security positions. So once again, this is a guy that's not supposedly part of the Trump campaign, not supposedly part of the Trump White House or the transition team, basically telling Bannon who he should and should not hire for national security positions. As Alternet reported earlier, investigators were unable to gather significant facts about a meeting between Bannon and Prince that occurred just before Prince met with Russian hedge fund manager overseas. According to the report, text messages on both of their phones have disappeared. There you go. So they basically had this meeting, and once again, just a coinky dink, two separate cell phones belonging to two separate people. Oops, the only text messages that seem to have disappeared are the ones in where this guy who is basically making decisions behind the scenes, not on the record, was meeting with a Russian. Collusion. Patrick, you're delusional, dude. You're delusional. You don't, if you haven't read what's in this report, do not dare call me and act like he's innocent. Text messages on both of their phones disappeared. But the Donald Trump Jr. and Paul Manafort were among those present at a June 26th meeting at Trump Tower in New York City, in which Trump allies discussed dirt that Russians had on Hillary Clinton. Trump Sr., however, was not present, and Mueller's report says that by June 2017, the president became aware of emails setting up the June 9, 2016 meeting between senior campaign officials and Russians who offered derogatory information on Hillary Clinton as part of the Russian for its government support of Trump. And once again, this is the Mueller report saying this, as they all say, the Russians wanted Hillary to win. No, the Mueller report found the Trump campaign was meeting with the Russians and the Russian government had support for Mr. Trump. So give it up. Mueller's report adds that on multiple occasions in late June and early July, the president directed aides to not publicly disclose the emails, and then he dictated a statement about the meeting to be issued by Donald Trump Jr. describing the meeting about adoption. Once again, though, Donald Trump Jr. has been determined to be so stupid that he literally might not have understood what he was doing. Does anyone have a set of keys we can jangle for the president's son to try to get his attention back?
Here, boy.
Here, boy. Here, boy. Here, boy. No, not you, Eric. Oh, stop on the carpet, Eric. Don't do that. Bad, Eric. Bad. But once again, as I've read this all for 45 minutes so far, Patrick in Apple Valley says, nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Why aren't we talking about other things like baseball? It's Easter season. We could talk about Easter. Sure, let's talk about Jesus' teachings and how many of them Trump is violating on every single day. Why do you want to talk about religion, Matt? Stop it. Can't we just enjoy nothing for a while? Game of Thrones, Matt. Game of Thrones. Oh, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Republican reaction to this, as you'd expect. We'll talk about that when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Who's your most trusted companion? Who's with you 24/7? What do you never leave home without? Your phone. But the screen is shattered. Don't panic. Bring it to Computer Revolution with cell phone repair. We have over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. We'll replace that screen and have it back same day. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair in Roseville at Highway 36 in Fairview. Or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones. Same day, 7 days a week.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week's a talking head show with the theme of sparking change. I'll talk about something you'd not expect, the 1968 Miss America pageant, and how it spurred change in our country. We'll also revisit LeBron James' I Promise School in Akron, Ohio, which is making quite a difference in student lives. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging in real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
One of the best parts of spring is the annual Easter Brunch Buffet at the Park Tavern. Enjoy Easter ham and herb-crusted beef, eggs benedict, Atlantic cod, a variety of salads, sides, and desserts. Seatings are at 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday, April 21st, and reservations are recommended. $20.95 for adults, $14.95 for seniors. Kids are $10.95, and 5 and under are free. And don't forget the hour of free bowling with every reservation. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, and at parktavern.net, a great Easter brunch with family is easy at the Park Tavern.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hi, this is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to a great new episode on the Wall of Power Radio Hour this weekend. We feature Grand Rapids, Minnesota native and superb guitarist Sam Miltich, who has a new record out called Peasants with Torches. Sam's one of the greatest guitar players in Minnesota and at 34 years old has made quite a name for himself. We're going to listen to some songs off the record and listen to his struggles with mental health issues and his hearing this Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950.
So we finally figured out, okay, from Doug Pageant talking to the Trumps fan on Monday where he said that Trump was two steps above God, we now know what that second step is because we have confirmation now. One is step one is getting spanked by a porn star with a copy of Forbes magazine with your face on it. Step two above God would be being in a Russian hotel room with prostitutes enjoying urine play and getting videotaped on it. So there you go. That's two steps above Jesus. There you go. Two steps. Such a Christian man. I wonder if he'll go to church this weekend. 50-50. 952-946-6205. Seriously, guys. You want to act as if there's nothing wrong here. It's all God. You guys are so determined to never be wrong to the Dems that you have decided to gladly take the Titanic down. Well, bon appetit. You guys, I mean, it's delusional what the Republicans are up to. Nothing we saw today changes. This is Kevin McCarthy, minority leader. Nothing today we saw today changes the underlying results of the 22-month-long Mueller investigation that ultimately found no collusion. Even he is saying there's nothing that changes. What are you talking about? There clearly was a lot of correspondence going on between Trump and Trump's campaign and the Russians. And there were actual meetings where, funny, all the text messages associated with those meetings have disappeared. It's time to move on. I urge our Democratic colleagues in the House to put a motion. Yeah, it's time to move on. The guy orders obstruction of justice 10 times. No blood, no foul. Incompetency is not an excuse for a conspiracy. House Minority Whip Steve Scalise said Democrats owe an apology to Americans for misleading them in the press. Really? Now that the Mueller report has formally been released, two things are abundantly clear. There was no collusion with Russia, and there was no obstruction. What are you talking about? This is what you want to be true. This is what you want to be real. It's not. You need to go reread that Mueller report. And if anything, this should be the starting point for further investigations. And let's drag Eric Prince's whiny little caboose into the Senate and House. Have him start testifying. Of course, the Republicans are terrified. They're terrified. And the reason why is that this does show, it shows Trump ordering obstruction of justice. And just because they didn't have the videotape of the obstructions happening doesn't mean he didn't order obstruction of justice, something that Mueller himself said, yeah, 10 times Trump ordered obstruction of justice, 10 times. And as far as Russian collusion, dear God, the Russians, we now know the Russians wanted him. We now know that Trump was compromised with the videotape. We now know that there was insane amount of communications, including sharing campaign data between the Russians and the Trump campaign. You may not, because they went out and buried the truth, doesn't mean it didn't happen. Because clearly at this point, there's still a lot of smoke in the air in regards to that. Needless to say, this is just beginning. Have a good one. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.